I'm dreaming of a ballsy Christmas. I can't help it today. I'm happy today. And we do begin taping tomorrow. And I think we should actually, with Ben Tenuta, do one of those behind the scenes, you know, when they make an album, of what it's like on the cutting room floor, things like that. Outtakes is the word I'm thinking of. Donnie is going to do a dramatic Yinzer reading, which he can't help but do. He's classic, isn't he? Of Twas the Night Before Malzy. You and I are going to sing some of the greatest hits. We're going to have a background singer. And also Hokey said he'll get involved. And Pomp will also join us at some point, maybe remotely. But this is going to happen. And we begin rehearsals tomorrow, limits at approximately 8:30.
And I also recruited Mark Cabali to join us.
He would be great on a dramatic reading, wouldn't he?
Yeah, very dramatic at times.
Yeah.
So he could work.
Is there a script he could read for Malzy the Snowman, something like that?
Malzy Bells?
Malzy Bells, yeah. The 12 Days of Malzy? Something. We'll figure out a role for him. Okay?
I think we should get Crowley involved.
I don't. Maybe Doran. Tony Pauline is an NFL insider. Here are the three receivers he says that the Steelers are pursuing. And two of them you could probably guess. One of them I had forgotten about. He was like one of the originals when this whole drama began about a year ago. And he sort of disappeared from my radar. So he works for Sportskeeda, Tony Pauline. He mentions Darius Slayton, which we knew about. Mike Williams, which we knew about. Maybe we didn't even know about them, limits, that Steelers were actually interested, but they just made sense. And the third is good old Cortland Sutton. How about that? He has reappeared. Pauline mentions, I've twice said the Steelers, mentioned them as a team in the market to trade for a receiver. They were keying on Davante Adams, Pauline says, before he was moved. Now sources have attached the names of three receivers they will look to trade for. Slayton, Williams, Sutton. And here's a little key for you. I am told the Steelers have a lot of interest in the Broncos wideout. That's Sutton. But it's a matter of meeting Denver's asking price, which I'm told is high. Now here's the part I don't quite get. The Broncos are in playoff position. He's their leading receiver. I know he has a big cap hit next year. His cap hit goes up. But Pauline says there's a 50-50 chance he'll go. Now, this is a guy that Russell Wilson has a good working relationship with. I think this would be incredible. Jeremy Fowler says the Steelers were showing continued interest. And I'm going off, by the way, a clip here on SteelersDepot.com. Josh Carney writing this. But he goes to Fowler, cites Fowler saying the Steelers were showing continued interest in Williams even after Davante Adams joined the team. Maybe especially since Davante Adams joined the team. Mike Garofalo reported Tuesday that the Giants would need to be, quote, blown away by a trade to move Darius Slayton. That gets a little bit ridiculous, okay? Blown away for Darius Slayton? Keep Darius Slayton. We'll bring in some other guy. That's what I'm thinking if I'm the Steelers.
Slayton's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah. What? Forget it. You keep him then. Have Daniel Jones not throw to him the whole game again. Actually, he did against the Steelers. What am I talking
about?
The
only game, it seemed.
Yeah. Couple things then. I'm encouraged that it appears the Steelers are still aggressively pursuing a receiver. They need one. Really good game, last game, couple nice plays from Van Jefferson, who he grows on you, right? He's a good blocker. He's made some good catches, made a great catch down the sidelines, but he's a three.
I'll take him as a three.
I'll take him as a three.
Really good four.
Really good four.
Take him as a three.
Take him as a three. Say something else I'll copy verbatim.
Malzy is the nicest
man alive.
We give Mosey a high five. Please. You knew that's where I was going with the singing.
I would take him. Yes, I would. I'd want Adam Thielen. I'm with Patrick Peterson. Adam Thielen would be my number one choice. Other than maybe Cortland Sutton. But somebody's got to explain to me why Denver would get rid of its number one receiver, who's obviously helping their young quarterback mature very quickly, by the way. He looked like crap against the Steelers. Their whole offense did. And then suddenly they've come alive. Like, why would you just suddenly trade him? Especially if you're Sean Payton. And everybody's waiting for you to work some magic there, and you actually are this season. They're in the playoffs. Them and Washington would be the two most surprising playoff teams in the NFL right now. Why would you trade your leading receiver who's having a pretty good year? I don't get that. Because you're afraid of the contract next year? I don't know, man. That doesn't make sense. But if that is the case, and if Pauline is right that there's a 50-50 chance they'll get rid of him, I would be first in line. And here's the thing about these hefty prices for these guys, they tend to go down a lot right at the deadline. Because then you start to realize, obviously, that if we don't accept a lesser price, we're stuck with an asset that we want to deal. So who knows? Maybe Omar's playing chess while the rest of us are playing checkers.
And Denver restructured Sutton's deal.
What would you rather play, by the way? Chess or checkers, if I offered a game right now?
I'd rather play chess.
Me too. I hate checkers. It just seems so stupid. It doesn't seem like there's strategy to it. It seems more a game of luck.
You know, in chess, my favorite thing to do is when they castle on the board. I just think it sounds fun.
Yeah.
When the king and the rook change places. Why? I don't know. I'm dumb. I'm not very sophisticated playing chess.
I like to capture the other team's Patrick Queen.
Yeah.
All I have to do is block him like everybody else has so far this season.
Well, that's the name of the game. Tape the queen. You should win.
Tic-tac-toe is a game I truly hate. I hate it. I can't tell you how much I hate tic-tac-toe.
Really?
I don't know why.
Because there's so many ties.
No, there's a ton of ties. It's like the old NHL. I used to play it with my daughter, and it was just for the fun of playing. But I used to think, like, there's only, like, three or four formulas here, and you know early in the game whether it's going to be a win or loss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You try the same little strategy. You put that little X in the upper left corner.
Or
you
know, the middle.
Yeah. You know, if they make the wrong move after that, you're headed toward a win.
You have to put one X in one corner and one X in the other corner.
That's exactly right.
Have you ever played the flow game before?
No.
Flow? The flow puzzles on your phone? Have you ever played it?
No, I hate phone games.
Too. I have a 2,833-day streak of playing the flow puzzles.
Do you have a record over those games?
I wonder if I do have the all-time record. Now, it says that that's how long the streak is, but I know there's been a couple days that I've missed it since then.
The greatest game ever invented of this ilk is Yahtzee. And I propose that I bring in Yahtzee, and you and I play one game every morning for 162 straight days, like a baseball season. Will you do that?
I will do that. I used to play Yahtzee with my grandfather.
I used to play Yahtzee with my friend Dan Doran. We would drink Jenny Cream and have seven-game series.
What if we played Yahtzee with Doran?
I'm missing that one. Is there
Dan Doran? Doran?
Oh, Doran Dickerson. Yeah, yeah. We could do that.
Took a while.
Yeah.
Do you think that if I tried to get acknowledged by the Flow Company for playing for 2,833 days...
You'd have your first endorsement, yes.
Do you think that is the record? Do you think I have the record of Flow puzzles in a row?
Yeah, I do.
I've been playing it since, like, my freshman year of high school.
I'm glowing right now, Limits. I think we're doing very well as a show. I just was handed a sheet of paper that I'm not allowed to talk about, but I'm glowing. Let's just put it that way.
And I'm glowing right along with you. We are the two stars at the top of the Christmas tree, and your star is brighter. But I'm still there. I'm still there with a little hand in the air.
I threw that in there at the end. I'm not brighter. We're equal, and you're brighter than me. And it's also been pomp. A little bit of pomp sprinkled in, a little bit of the Batconian mongoose.
Yes, the mongoose.
Kabali, but you know who it is most of all? Is the people listening to the show.
100%.
Whether it's on YouTube, where you can watch us, or at least watch me. They really should train a camera on you. People are missing a lot. Or on the Odyssey app at home, 93.7thefan.com, or in your cars. You're what make this show what it is, which a lot of people would say is a pile of steaming horse crap with green flies circling it. But apparently some people like it, too.
That's my favorite to see on the text line. Somebody will say, man, this show, you know, come on, be better, talk about this. And the next text is, listen to you every day. Really appreciate it. Keep it up. Thanks for the show.
I love that. All right, your three choices, according to Tony Pauline, the three guys they're pursuing. Mike Williams, Darius Slayton, Courtland Sutton. Returns aside, and I'll throw in Adam Thielen, by the way, just on my own. Pauline's not reporting that they're even interested, so who knows? Of those four, all things being equal, which guy would you want on the Steelers? 412-928-9370. Oh, I knew what I was talking about. Yeah, Jefferson and Austin had good games. They've made plays. But they're both threes. And I think as you head into the second half of the schedule, you're going to be facing better quarterbacks, like way better quarterbacks and way better offenses. And as you need as many weapons as you can get for those games that the Steelers suddenly seem capable of winning, by the way, they're going to be shootouts. Like, I'm not convinced this defense is going to be shutting people down. I've seen too many disturbing signs that quarterbacks and other offenses may light them up. But guess what? I've also seen signs that the Steelers can light people up. And in the arms race that is the AFC, get your guy another weapon. If for no other reason, by the way, than depth. Like, what if Pickens misses a month for some reason? Twists an ankle, something like that. At least this gives you another viable receiver and a chance to survive without him for a while. You know what I mean? They're just too thin, plus they don't have a real number two still. Those are two great reasons to get another receiver, and that's why I'm heartened that Tony Pauline says they're aggressively pursuing three of them. But anyway, of those four, Mike Williams, Darius Slayton, Courtland Sutton, and Adam Thielen, returns aside, contracts aside, all that crap, which guy would you rather have on your team, most have on your team?
I would rather have Courtland Sutton, number one. And it's not all that he has the chemistry with Russell Wilson. I think that's a good thing. Sutton has dealt with injuries. Not a good thing. But I think of all of those wide receivers, he still is at an age where I'm comfortable with the money that he's being commanded, even though the deal's been worked around a little bit. I like the way that he runs routes. And he's a really good perimeter wide receiver, which is something that the Steelers utilize a lot, more so than the middle of the field. I think he'd fit this offense as an outside receiver. I'm not going to act like I'm a huge film junkie and break it down like the Nick Faraboss of the world and others, but when I watch Courtland Sutton, his ability to do a lot of things similar to Cooper Kupp, obviously not on that level, but he is probably a tier below it, makes me the first guy that I would pick from in that group.
Yeah, I think he's different from Kupp and from Thielen, and that he is an outside guy a lot of the time. Maybe I need to look at numbers closely, but that's certainly the impression that I get. But he did have 10 touchdowns with Russell Wilson last year. 10! I think he'd be a nice fit. Having said that, if Thielen is healthy, I believe in every syllable that our friend Patrick Peterson told Pony and Muller the other day. I believe every single thing this guy said. And he plays corner. Now, to be fair, I think he was presented with a choice, and I don't know that Courtland Sutton was on that list that Pony presented him. I think it was more along the lines of Slayton, Williams, Thielen, that little group. I'm pretty sure that Sutton was not a choice. Having said that, this is what a guy who made his living covering NFL receivers said about Adam Thielen.
From your cornerback perspective, which one do you think would make the most sense for the Steelers?
In my opinion, I'm going to have to go with Adam Thielen.
Ooh.
Yeah, just because Allen is one of those guys, you can put him kind of anywhere. He can be that slot receiver. I know we got Austin at that, but I feel like Austin is more like a big play type slot receiver, but if you have a guy like Adam Thielen that can manipulate and receive those cause those mismatches inside the numbers, I think that can be a guy that can really help that offense kind of flourish, because you got Pat as a tight end. We all know what he can do, But now you can add another element inside where a guy, where you can move him, you can have him outside, and you can move him inside. And he's a guy who can win one-on-one matchups.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is all of that. So I think even with Sutton on the table, that a healthy Thielen might be my guy. Might be. Man, I wouldn't complain about Cortland Sutton. I've got to see more, though. Can you look up some stories from there, from Denver? Oh, Limitless Wonder.
I just got scared by somebody outside wearing a costume.
Dressed as Michael Myers?
No,
again?
Dressed as a crazy pop star person.
What if I dressed as Malzi?
I'd be very scared. Look.
That's, yeah.
Who is that?
I don't know who that is.
Saying, I see you.
Yeah.
Look at all the hair and the fancy red hat. I'm sorry, I was completely distracted.
No, but it's understandable given what I've just seen. So I think all those things considered, Thielen would be my guy because of his versatility, opening up the middle of the field. A different style, completely different style receiver than Pickens. 412-928-9370. Let's hit the phones, shall we?
Yeah, let's go to Mike in Homestead.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing? How you doing, Joe? How you doing, City Limits?
Good.
Let's be realistic. Yes, we would love to have Sutton. It's not going to happen. They're not going to give up. They're still in the hunt. They're not going to trade him. Slayton is too much, basically what they're saying. And I think realistically, I think we're going to end up with Mike Williams, to be honest with you.
How do you feel about that?
Not bad. I mean, I think his better playing days have passed him by, but he would be a great red zone target. You know, when we get down in there, he's tall, he's big, you know, maybe bring that down with both legs in bounds, unlike, Pickett when he did last week. But, I think realistically, like Slayton's out, Cortland Sutton would be great, but they're not going to let him go.
Yeah. And, I've got to look a little more into that. I have limits on the case of looking a little more into that one about why that would even be a thing when he's the leading receiver for a surprise team with a young quarterback. Mike Williams just seems like a guy in decline. You know, the numbers paint a pretty stark picture. No pun intended there. I'm not real high on that. I could change my mind, I suppose. But I'd rather have actually any of the other three guys mentioned than him. Next.
Here is Jason in North Carolina.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, hey, going back to the candy question. Okay. What's the best or worst candy to get on Halloween?
Yes.
The worst one, and it's actually put towards Pittsburgh, is called Six Licks. It's some kind of candy shell chocolate.
Are you doing some home plumbing right now? You sound like there is a body of water, perhaps a toilet near you. What's happening?
Do I? Okay, hang on 1 second. I'm actually at the gym. Work it out.
Okay.
Hang on one
sure.
second.
I'm no problem. We've got all the time in the world. We're just
doing
a
radio
show.
Don't hang up on me.
No, we wouldn't think of it.
No, I've got... okay. So here I am.
He hung up on himself.
And then he hung up on himself.
Oh, my gosh.
While we're in a celebratory mood, can we get Pony calling Bob as George in Washington? I still can't believe that. I can't believe it. I'm getting sick of the Kabali one. How about...
Oh, you're getting sick of Kabali?
At least... No, not him. Of the It's a Joke.
You know what we haven't heard enough of?
Oh, my God. Jason Mackey did a column in the Post-Gazette where he interviewed Dr. Dick.
No way.
Yes, he did. Look it up. Google Mackey, Dr. Dick. And you'll find that column. It's unbelievable. Truly. Although Dr. Dick is renowned as a sports marketer here in Pittsburgh.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. Quotes from Dr. Dick.
Dr. Ronald Dick. He spent 13 years working in sales with the 76ers and the Nets.
I didn't know that.
That's what it says. It's in the second line of the story. First line.
Why don't we get Dr. Dick on next week? Because I'd love to talk about that.
I know he's listening.
Plus sports marketing. There's always something to talk about from a marketing perspective. You know what I would ask Dr. Dick? When the Penguins really start to go downhill, what happens to all the marketing brilliance that has been assigned to them. And it's rightful, by the way. The Penguins were given the golden goose, and they got as many eggs out of it as they could. But the real story is they were given the golden goose, right?
Right.
So when they start not to win, where do you go in terms of marketing your team if you're the Penguins? Certainly not back to Gen X.
Can't market just Crosby, Malkin, and Letang anymore. It's not getting the job done.
Post those guys.
Oh, post those guys?
And we're getting close on a couple counts, I think.
You basically have to give great ticket discounts and great bobbleheads and T-shirts away, I guess. I don't know.
How did we get to Dr. Dick?
We played the drop.
Oh, yeah.
But is that one better than this one? Remember Doc and Claysville on Dancing, really?
Let's go to, just to finish out this segment, this was Todd with the PM guys when Pickens was having troubles a few weeks back about what the leadership core of the Steelers should do, how they should address George Pickens.
Does anybody anymore in a locker room, like, you know, TJ or Cam, come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
That gets me every time. You?
What are you doing? That's it's so Pittsburgh, and it's just good.
It's so good.
Maybe somebody did.
Maybe that's the key to the whole year. We don't know it. Somebody was listening to Todd that day. Maybe TJ went up to Cam and say, why don't we go up to George tomorrow? And just say, hey, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
All right, Limits. Let's get to, what's next?
Destiny's Child.
Destiny's Child. I like this. Destiny's Child is a man of many missions, a man of many talents. He also covers the Penguins. And as I open the show today, in any other market, in any other sport, today would be a day we'd be wondering, what is the fate of the coach if this team loses tonight? Or what should it be? A team that's underachieved for two calendar years in a row now and is off to a disastrous start. 3-7-1 with a six-game losing streak, playing a mediocre team at home. This is when NHL coaches get fired if they wouldn't have been fired already. It just is. That's a fact. So why aren't we all sort of on edge with this story and talking about it? Is it because we know it won't happen? Even if he loses tonight and Saturday to Montreal? I mean, what then? You're 3-9-1 with an 8-game losing streak after two bad seasons.
On an open file.
What a treat this is. Destiny's Child makes his return. He's on 93.7thefam.com on the video. That you can follow there. You can watch us on YouTube or listen to us in a variety of ways, right? The Odyssey app, 93.7thefan.com, or driving around in your car the old school way. Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette. Sure, he covers the Pirates, but he also covers the Penguins. Andrew, nice to have you back here. You're on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And here's my question, being around that team, is there any sort of vibe that these two games are important for Mike Sullivan regarding his job security? Because as we've been talking about today, I would argue in any other market, in any other sport, when you've had the lack of success for an extended period of time now that Mike Sullivan has had, and you're off to a disastrous start right now, your job would be in jeopardy. Is his?
First off, thanks for having me as always, Joe. It's good to catch up. I don't think it can be in jeopardy here, frankly. I mean, being around the team, it hasn't been a ton for me, frankly, in the early goings here, just with some time off in between baseball season and hockey season. But getting back into the swing of things, being around the team the last handful of days, it really doesn't seem like the job is in jeopardy. And that's not to suggest that the Penguins aren't serious about winning or anything like that. I think it just goes to the point of, I think it's hard really to pin the blame on Sullivan too much for what's going on here at the start of the year when you contrast that against the roster construction. Frankly, based on my observations just in the early going, who could make the argument that this roster is worse than last year's? And I think that would be a fair one, especially when you take into account the declining play of the superstars. Erik Karlsson in particular is somebody who has really struggled in the early going, whether that's a factor of him coming off the preseason injury, whatever it may be. But that's all to say that I don't think Selvin's job is in jeopardy, and I understand the sentiment of in other markets, in other situations, that sure, maybe the seat would be a little bit hotter, but as you astutely pointed out in your writing today, Joe, I mean, this is a guy who still has time left on his contract, 2 years beyond this season. Fenway Sports Group has made it very clear how highly they think of Mike Sullivan, and I don't think that's going to change just based off of an early season losing streak that, admittedly, this has been a really rough stretch for the Penguins. But you also have to factor in the fact that part of that was the West Coast, the Western Canada road trip. So I don't think the job's in jeopardy yet. And frankly, I would be really surprised for it to get into jeopardy really at any point this season.
Yeah, it wouldn't be based off the start. It would be based off two radically underachieving seasons in a row where they didn't even make the playoffs, compounded and followed up by an all-time disastrous start, just to be clear about that. But if that's not the vibe, I'm not surprised that that's not the vibe you're getting. I think a function of what Fenway Sports Group thinks of Sullivan, of the time left on his deal. I think they want to be the Steelers, quite frankly. But the reality right now, Andrew, is they have sunk to the bottom of the league. And the other thing that comes up for me is, now that you're here, why not stay? Why not start to move out some good players? And I realize there's contracts that are tough to get rid of, but why not make that attempt as an organization to start to lose more? I hate to say that, but anyone who knows the history of the Penguins knows that such endeavors have actually saved the franchise.
Yeah, I think that's certainly something that will be in play as the season progresses. It's probably a little premature right now. I'm not saying that they would wait until March, until the trade deadline or anything like that, but there's a couple factors at play there, Joe, right? And you mentioned one of them with the contracts. A lot of these guys, you can look at it based on the various contracts that they've got, guys like Brian Rust, Ricard Raquel, et cetera. Various players, it's different situations, right? Whether it's no trade clauses, whether it's hefty contracts. For instance, a guy like Erik Karlsson, moving him would be a really difficult endeavor just based off his level of play and the money. Right now, the Penguins are on the hook for $10 million of that contract for the foreseeable future. So a lot of these contracts, it might be easy to say.
Well, if the idea is to lose, then I think keeping Karlsson is a great idea. I guess I'm thinking about other guys on the team, like a Raquel, a Brian Rust when he's healthy. Would anybody, could you entice Chris Letang into taking a deal? You send Blomqvist to the minors. You recall Tristan Jarry. Now we're really talking if the idea is to lose.
Right. And the Jarry one is a salient point, too, because I think that's such an important component of this, A, for this season and for the future, because beyond this year, three more years on the deal, paying him a lot of money. You don't want that to be a Jack Campbell situation like last year in Edmonton, where you're buying out the contract and it's dead cap money. In a perfect world, which this is me being way too half-class full, but in a perfect world, you bring Jarry back up at some point and he plays to some manageable level of play and at least proves that he's somewhat closer to that all-star form of the past.
Yeah.
It's very wishful thinking on my end, but he would be the type of guy that, again, if you're looking to move guys off who could help you lose in a theoretical world, Jarry would be the type of contract you would love to shed. But I think Raquel is certainly a top candidate just given how well he has played in the early going. He's somebody who has been moved previously, going from Anaheim to Pittsburgh. The contract is relatively manageable. If I remember correctly, it's $5 million per year. So I look at Raquel as a prime candidate for somebody who, A, has played well, and if you were to subtract him from the lineup, it would certainly help the Penguins lose more while also getting assets for the future.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette. Yeah, man, I think this was headed in that direction anyway. And like I said, maybe they've arrived early and maybe this precipitates a talk with Sid. In fact, if the organization did decide that, hey, we might as well start the blow up now, then you have to have a conversation with him on, you know, are you willing to go through this or would you prefer to go to another team that's winning, that has a chance to win? And then, you know, you honor his request either way. What sense do you get with Sid? Do you think if this thing were a total blow up, that he would want to stick through it? That his one team legacy would override the desire to win another cup?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not wanting to speak on his behalf in any way like that, but I will suggest this is that just being around him the last few years, getting to understand his legacy and how much he means to the city of Pittsburgh and how much the city of Pittsburgh means to him, I would be frankly pretty surprised if he were somebody who would ask out. He had the opportunity to play through the contract and let it go and become a free agent next year and, you know, showed his financial commitment to the team with signing that extension and making it very clear publicly that he's on board with what won't be a, you know, particularly easy process. This is kind of, to equate it to another sport, it was kind of like the Warriors with the two timelines thing of a couple of years ago. Of
sure.
Have your core, but also try to rebuild. That's kind of what the Penguins are going for here. And obviously in the early goings, it is looking disastrous, to use your word, Joe. But I would be very surprised if Sidney Crosby were to want elsewhere, want out, anything of that nature. Being here these last 20 years, going into this 20th NHL season, he wants to be here. He's made that clear. I would be pretty surprised. It would be a pretty significant pivot, in my mind at least, if he were to want to ask out and want to go play elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I would completely respect it and honor it. I think everybody else would, but it's become more interesting to me here because things have changed. You know, I don't know that he signed up for a complete blow-up rebuild. Maybe he signed up for this vague rebuild, get some second picks back in trades, whatever Kyle Dubas is said to be doing right now. You mentioned the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, I mean, they still made the playoffs last year. They're still bringing in some young talent, and they're still kind of winning. They're off to a good start. This,
right.
What is this? I don't know what this is, but I think when Crosby signed, the implication from him was, hey, we're at least going to try to still win, aren't we?
Right. Yeah, this is significantly worse than expected, right? You couldn't have predicted Tristan Jarry to be at a level where it's unplayable in the NHL and has to go to the AHL to figure it out there. Couldn't have predicted Blake Lizotte, you know, starting the year injured, and that's not to say that he's a franchise savior or anything, but that's a young guy who plays with
yeah.
That's like a young guy who plays with speed, who at least could help your bottom six. Brian Rust being injured at the start and now being injured out week to week, like pretty much everything that could go wrong feels like it has gone wrong for the Penguins, and we're seeing that embodied in, you know, moves from Mike Sullivan, like putting Sid and Gino on the same line, right? First time they've started a game together in a decade. Moves like that suggest that there is certainly a level of urgency here to somehow find a way out of this. But yeah, I think the dynamics have changed. I'm curious if that would change any internal conversations between somebody like Dubas and Sid. But no indications of that, at least based on what we're witnessing, what we're hearing. But my takeaway on it has this couldn't have gone much worse to start things off. Mm. I'm very curious how the next few weeks go, because frankly, if they keep playing like this, as you pointed out, Joe, they could be swimming with the Sharks the rest of the season.
Well, let me ask you this. What if this grows to 8 games, 10 games, 12 games? Does Tom Werner have a line that can't be crossed? The Penguins are on a 12-game losing streak and last in the NHL. Is it just completely off the table to change coaches?
That's a tough one. I mean, if I were running the team, I would say that you have to consider it. I mean, there's so many factors at play here, right? The finances of having a guy under contract, you'd be paying him not to coach, the two-time Stanley winning cup. All of those resume things are important, but when you look at recent history, what have you done for me lately? Yeah, Penguins haven't made the playoffs the last 2 years after that extended run of doing so. Off to a terrible start this year. You know, in this theoretical world, it would only be getting worse. I don't know necessarily if it's firing Mike Sullivan, but it would have to be some kind of changeup. Maybe it's making a really significant trade, making a big splash, dumping some, you know, players like a Raquel to make a very clear signal of, okay, this season is lost. Let's recruit whatever benefits we can in the early goings and maximize the value of trading a guy like Raquel. And, you know, that's a speculative world, but hey, if you're going to trade the guy in March, why not trade him in November, right? Maximize that value, get as much as you possibly can for anybody on the roster who is meeting expectations or exceeding them. So if this season keeps trending in the direction it's going, frankly, I don't think a coaching change is going to save them. In my opinion, this is not a playoff team, at least as the way the roster is constructed. So if the concern is that making a coaching change would be what it takes to get this team back on track, This is not last year's Oilers team, where at the beginning of the year they struggle mightily, they make a coaching change, and then all of a sudden they come within one game of winning the Stanley Cup final. I don't think that kind of change would be what puts the Penguins over the top. It's too flawed of a roster. It's too old, too veteran, too injured. There's just so many factors here to me that say that a coaching change, in my opinion, wouldn't be what fixes this team.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. High is 79 today with clear skies. In less than a minute, you also cover baseball. Story in the Post-Gazette about McCutchen and his future. Will they bring him back? Should they bring him back in less than a minute?
Yeah. Kudos to my colleague Noah Hiles for writing that one up.
The Noah Constrictor. Yes.
We love the guy. I would say that could they bring him back? Absolutely. And should they? In my opinion, yes. This guy means too much to the franchise. He has demonstrated that, yeah, he's limited in terms of not really being able to play the outfield anymore and that injuries can bang him up, especially at this veteran stage in his career. But they've said it publicly, the Pirates as well as McCutchen, as long as he can play and wants to play, he wants to do so here and they want to have him here. So I would say that in my personal opinion, I would bring back McCutchen. And it's not because he would be a charity case. It's far from it. He's somebody who has demonstrated he can still play at this level. It's not going to be a contract that breaks the bank. You can continue to go on a year-by-year basis for as long as he wants to and make sure you're not locking yourselves into some dead pot contract. I think you keep bringing back McCutchen and you do it for what you did last year. Do it for a year and $5 million. There's nothing wrong with that.
Andrew Destin, read his stuff at postgazette.com. Thank you, sir. We'll talk maybe next week, huh?
Sounds like a plan to me. Thanks for having me, Joe.